chapter 4 of Yehoshua. And we recalled last week how the Jewish people came to the Jordan, and the Jordan split for them. And we're now going to continue with some other themes regarding this. And I think, once again, you will come up with some interesting reflections upon things that happened previously in Chumash that we're trying to be awakened to. So it says, Vayhi kasher tamu kol hagoy lavor ta yarden. It says, when the entire nation completed crossing the Jordan, Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua lemor, that God said to Joshua, saying the following. He says to them, Kechulachem min ha'am, shnei masar anashim, take from you 12 men, asher echad, ish echad mishevet, from each one, there should be one from each tribe. Sound familiar? Like one from each tribe? Okay, again, that's kind of back to the spies. V'tzivu otam lemor se'ulachem mizeh mitocha yarden. And then he says to them that they should lift themselves up from the midst of the yarden. So I just want to point out this idea of going and then lifting up. It's interesting. You know where the word yarden comes from? Jordan? Yarden. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, that the word Yarden comes from the word Yored Dan. It comes down from the Dan. Like if you look at a map, the Jordan River comes down from the Dan. It goes down, Yored Dan, from the Dan. Okay? From the Dan, from the area that where Dan had their tribe tribal land. All right? And then he says, so after you go to the Yarden, it says, lift up, go up. And that's what he said also to the spies when they went on their mission to Israel. He said in Bamidbar Yud Gimel Yud Chet, he said, Aluzeh Banegev Alitem Et Ahar. Go up, and then it says they did go up. And we always talk about going up to the land of Israel, by the way. Eretz Yisrael is described as being higher spiritually than all other lands. So that's why you make Aliyah, right? You go up to Israel. What do you mean you go up? You don't go up to America, you don't go up anywhere else, but you go up to Israel, which is seen as a higher level spiritually. So anyway, you have this as an introduction, okay? And then, so he tells them, we're going to see to go into the river, and once they're in the river, if you now go over to verse 6, all right? He told them all, we just read, he told them all that that they should lift up lachem ish even achat, they should lift up a stone actually, each of them, each of the 12, and put it on their shoulders. It's the end of verse 5. L'mispar shivtei b'nei Yisrael, for the numbers of the tribes of the Jewish people. So everyone's supposed to pick up this stone. L'man tiyezo ot bekir b'chem, so that this should be a sign in your midst. Ki yishalun v'neichem machar, for when your children shall ask you tomorrow. V'lemor saying, Maha vanim ha'ela lachem, what are these stones to you? V'amartem lahem, and you shall say to them, Asher nichrutu me'mei yarden, because God split the Jordan River, mipnei Aaron brit Hashem, in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant of God. B'avro b'yarden, when the Jewish people went through the Jordan River, Nichwitu Mea Yarden, the waters became split by Yuavanima Ela Lizikaron, and these rocks, these stones, will be a memorial, Livnei Yisrael Adolam, to the Jewish people forever, that this is what God did. So it's very fascinating. Before we go on to discuss some of the issues here, if you look in your Chumash, look to chapter 37 in Deuteronomy. Make it 27. Chapter 27 in Deuteronomy, in Devarim. That's page 1072. Page 1072. because we tend not to remember things when we see them in Nach that were previously said in Chumash, and this is a perfect example. It says on page 1072, Perakav Zayin, in Devarim, Vayitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael ta'am lemor, and Moses and the elders commanded the nation, saying, Shamor et kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom, keep all of the commandment that I am commanding you this day. And it shall be that on the day that you cross the Jordan River, El Haaretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Notein Lach, to the land that God has given you, Avanim Gedolot, you shall establish for yourselves great stones, and then you shall plaster them. Okay, so this is now what's taking place in Yehoshua, what was forecasted as going to be taking place in the book of Devarim. And then it says, V'chatavta alehen et kol divrei ha-Torah zot. You shall write on these 12 stones all of the Torah. The Ovracha Leman Asher, as you cross over, Leman Asher Tavo El Haaretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Notein Lecha Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash Kasher Dibar Hashem Elokei Avotecha Lach, so that you will come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, the land flowing with milk and honey, which the Lord your God has spoken unto you. Okay, and then he goes on to continue to emphasize this point. So this is what's done. Exactly what was written on the stones, because it says write the entire Torah on these 12 stones. Is that possible? On these 12 stones to write the entire Torah? The Ramban says yes. You write the entire Torah. The Gaonim, Rav Sadia Gaon and others, I believe, said it means you write all 613 mitzvot on the stones. How could you write all the whole Torah? Well, I'll ask, how can you write all 613 mitzvot? But there are those who say as well, it means perhaps the Aseret HaDibrot, write the Ten Commandments covering these 12 stones, because we hold that some say that the Ten Commandments are representative of the entire Torah, and you can track the whole Torah underneath each one of the commandments, if you will. Like one commandment represents many, many different mitzvot. As some of you taking my Ten Commandments class, they remember. So that being the case, this is what's happening. What seems strange to me, first of all, is you have these 12 stones. They're put in the Jordan River. They're in the middle of the river. All right? They're supposed to be like memorials, so everyone should see them and know, oh, this is where the Jewish people crossed, and God split the sea for them. He didn't do that for the splitting of the sea, of the Red Sea. But anyway, here he does it. And my question is, number one, where are those stones today? Because it says, and here it says they are a memorial until this day, Adolam forever. Okay, and I see in the Gemara, I've seen various Gemaras that say, in looking into this, that they're at the time of Chazal, of the Chachamim, that those stones were there. They said, some people said, we saw them, we were there, they're still there in the Jordan. How they stood there, I don't know. You know what I mean? Is you have the river flowing. I realize we said last week it's not like the Amazon or the Nile River here. It's like more of a creek. But still, how do you have these stones like piled on each other just sitting there and not being, you know, swept away by the river? And again, they're not there today. It seems like they were supposed to be there forever. It's just fascinating. You're supposed to have this.
You may not be aware, but it's maybe just 10 years ago that they actually think that they found them. This is one of the few kind of, I'm very skeptical to these things. A lot of these things are best doubtful or downright frauds have been proved. Mm-hmm. This one is one that, I mean, was all over, that they actually found 12, I believe, I think it was 12 stones which were set up by the Yardane, I think it was by the Yardane, that they suspect, but I don't know if it was writing on there, but that would have worn away much, much quicker. That, I mean, mainline archaeologists who weren't, they weren't stooges of the fundamentalist right or any way out groups. They really think there's a very large chance that those actually were the stones.
It's fascinating, these 12 stones. I'm going to comment upon it a little bit. So we've seen that they're mentioned, therefore, in Devarim. They're supposed to have the Torah, however you described it, the whole Torah, all the mitzvot, the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments written on them. And what is the purpose, do you think, of writing the Torah upon these stones as the Jewish people enter the land of Israel. What do you think the purpose of this is? They're crossing the river here. They're crossing the river. And even before they get across, stop. Or if they get across, 12 people have to come back and say, now you got to put up these stones here with the Torah on it. What do you think would be the message of that, that the Torah is put here at the border?
It's so that they understand that when you go into the land, you're not going into the land like you go into other lands, that you have to keep all these commandments.
Correct. The purpose of your going into the land, and the reason the land is being given to you is on the condition that you are going to keep the Torah. Okay? And don't ever forget it. And we're setting it up here in that way so you'll remember this. Alright? You are getting the land only by virtue of this Torah, and you're keeping the Torah. It's not because, as some said some years ago, look, everyone has their own land, so we should have our own land. Okay, that's true, but that's not why we are given the land of Israel. It's supposed to be a special land for special people and with special observances kept there, specifically in the land of Israel. As a result, the Ramban, as I said, points this out. Rabbeinu Bachaye says in his commentary that that's why, as an example, in benching, right, when we bless after we eat, in the second paragraph, Nodelecha, right, it says, The entire blessing is speaking about God giving us the land of Israel, actually giving it to Yehoshua, to Joshua at this point, right, and the Jewish people going into the land. And you have to mention, the Gemara says, you must mention that God gave us the Torah, or you don't fulfill your obligation of benching. Why not? It's an auto benching. I just left out that God gave us the Torah, because you only get the land. You said, it says you have to bench, you have to bless Allah Aretz v'Ala Mazon, on the land and on the food. But if you're not recognizing you have that land because of the Torah and for the purpose of keeping the Torah, then you do not fulfill your obligation. Okay, that has to be understood as you go into the land of Israel. As you're crossing, right, you have to understand you're only getting this land by virtue of your commitment to the observance of the Torah. All right? That's a critical idea. Hirsch says the same thing. Of Shimshon Frol Hirsch says it in his commentary in Devarim that we looked at before. He said, as soon as you prepare to cross the Yarden, engage in erecting the stones for the sake of the Torah. You begin erecting them even before you have completed the crossing. Those 12 guys still had to go over. For only by virtue of erecting these stones will you be able to cross the Yarden and enter the promised land. Only thanks to the Torah will you be given this land. Solely for the sake of the Torah, for its preservation and observance, will you merit to possess the land. And you shall demonstrate this truth immediately upon your crossing of the river that marks the boundary of the land. The stones were lifted out of the Yarden itself from the place where the Kohanim stood bearing the Ark of the Covenant. The stones apparently were, remember the Kohanim were in carrying the Ark, and from right there where they were, that's where apparently the stones were taken out, where they were taken from. Eventually they would be, it says, another set created in Gilgal as an eternal memorial. It says there, but here it says it's Yarden. And he adds this, he says, the Yarden was not split before Israel. It says in Deuteronomy that the Yarden was split when the Torah was passing through on its journey to its place where its purpose would be realized. So the purpose was not just the Jews should get through, but that the Torah should get through. There has to be a Torah for Eretz Yisrael to govern it. The Abravanel has a really fascinating statement on this. The Abravanel points out the following. Let me ask you, does this sound unusual that you would put up memorial stones like this? Does it sound unusual? He says, no, the Romans did it, the Arch of Titus, other things, the Romans, and nations, if they take over a land, they might put a memorial there. However, he says that this is not what the Jewish people were told to do. They're not supposed to do that like all other nations do it. They're going to have a memorial there, but not like the Romans and those who came before him, and not like they engage in. He says, when they come into the land, he says, they're also going to put up memorial stones. He says, to show God's greatness, to show, it said, that God split the Jordan, right, when it came to the Jewish people going into the river. It's not to show, look how powerful we are. In fact, they didn't even take over the land yet. They're just crossing over. But this is to show that this is God's land. Look, God did a miracle to take us into it. This land is going to have divine providence over it at all times, as we know the Torah says. This is being done l'shem mitzvah, for the sake of a mitzvah, for the sake of God himself, not for the sake, like everyone else does it, to show how great we are, but for the sake of God when they were creating this. And the Abravanel adds this. He says, you know what those stones are akin to, he says so beautifully? You know what they're symbolic of? He says, those stones are like a mezuzah. He says, Uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha bisharecha. He says, just like in your home, on the boundary of your home, the door, you have to put a mezuzah on to show that God is protecting this household and the Torah is what I live by when I walk into this house. So too, he says, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, this is their entrance into Eretz Yisrael, those stones have the Torah upon them, whatever we define the Torah as, and that is the message at the borders of Eretz Yisrael. When you go in, you have to live by the Torah. You have this land only because of the Torah. It's the mezuzah, he says, of Eretz Yisrael, those stones, those 12 stones. It's like the mezuzah of Eretz Yisrael in a very beautiful symbolic expression that he puts forth. Now, Yishalun b'nechem machar. When your children ask tomorrow, what's that sound like? Who asks?
The children.
The four sons, right? Lay more, and they're going to say, get ready to answer this. Ready? Mahavanima elu lachem. Someone pitch in here. Who does it sound like? Who's asking that question in the Haggadah? The Rasha. I'm just pointing it out. It just says, what are these, like you say in the Haggadah, what are these, what's this avoda, what's this ceremony to you? To you, not to me, to you. He excludes himself. Well, here it's the same thing. It says, when your children will ask in the future, what are these stones to you? Not to us, to you. This is interesting. V'amartem lahem. You shall say to them. Okay, now it's interesting, you know, in the Haggadah, let's look for a minute. Let's look now in the Torah. The Haggadah actually brings the four sons in a different way, some of you know, than the Torah itself does. But let's look how the Torah does and just stick with that. Look on page 356 in Parshat Bo, in the Chumash. Back to the Chumash, page 356, Parshat Bo, the Jews are about to go out of Egypt. Vayaki tavo la'aretz, and it shall be when you come to the land, asher yitein Hashem lachem, that God gives you, kasher diber, shmartem et avah hazot, and you shall keep this service, which is bringing the Korban Pesach. Vayaki yomru aleichem b'neichem, ma avodah hazot lachem. It shall be that when your children say to you, what is this service to you? Now this is seen as the Russia. Okay? Now, why is it seen as the Russia? First of all, it doesn't say here, when your children ask you, you know, you have a question, Daddy, Mommy, can you help me? It's not like they say it to you. They just say it. They just tell you. Okay? They will not go on others point this out. They just tell you. They don't ask you. They tell you. Then they say, Mavazazo Lachem, what is this to you? Excluding themselves. Again, like we had here, Lachem, right? In the Yoshua case. V'amartem, now look what it says. V'amartem zevach pesach hu l'Hashem. You shall say this is the Passover offering which is being offered to God. Now what did it say in Yoshua? It said V'amartem what? Look, it says V'amartem. Does it say V'amartem? It says V'amartem lahem. And you shall say to them, you'll say, what's the difference? The Vilna Gaon says, when you're speaking to the Russia, to the wicked son, right? You're not even supposed to talk to him. You're supposed to say, he asked you this question, he's wicked. Oh, what are you guys doing here? It's a waste of time, right? It says, V'amartem, you just say to yourselves, this is what God did for me when he took us out of Egypt. You don't be a part of it, that's up to you. But you are supposed to strengthen yourselves against such people who would say, what kind of ridiculous thing is it? A Pesach Seder? This is a waste of time. It's a bunch of nonsense, right? So sometimes you try to talk to that person, it's not going to go anywhere. So V'amartem, you just say it to yourself. So it's interesting here, it has the same language, V'amartem, just like it has the Lachem, but it says, V'amartem Lachem, it says in Yoshua, you speak to them. Here it says, you just say it. You just speak. You don't even like respond to the Russia. Just out of my Seder. Out of here. But here, Yeshua, it's not exactly the same. I'm just bringing the characteristics that are similar. But it says you do speak to the children when they ask, what is this? Apparently they're not asking in such a wicked mode. Although it seems like, you know, it's very much comparable, right, to this situation. The other sons are also mentioned here in Chumash and Parshat Bo, with one being mentioned in Parshat in Devarim, Vav Kaf, that's where you have the wise son. But I'd like to add as well, perhaps, another insight. It also says, you see, it says, when your children ask you machar, tomorrow. Okay, now look, the one we just looked at, it doesn't say machar, it says, it just says, they shall ask you, your children saying, what is this, right? It doesn't say tomorrow they shall ask you, it just says they shall ask you. Okay? They shall ask you. So commentaries say, remember, this was the wicked son? Because there is no tomorrow for the wicked son. So it doesn't say, your children shall ask you tomorrow. Now, that's the wicked son. Well, guess what? There is no tomorrow for him. He's not going to continue on with Jewish life. You think this is nonsense. It doesn't say machar for him. Now, let's just look. The other sons that are here also. 8. You shall tell your child on this day, in verse 8, page 362, that God did this for me when he took me out of Egypt. Now there it's there, who, what son is that talking about, do you think? You shall tell your child. The one that does not ask. Why is that? Because it doesn't say when your son asks you on this one, it just says, and you shall tell your son. So even the one who doesn't know, you shall tell him. Correct? Yud Dalid, Vayaki Shalcha Bincha Machar Lemor. Now here it says, when your son shall ask you tomorrow, saying, what is this? So this is a simple son. Okay? And you shall tell him, with a strong hand God took us out of Egypt. Alright? So you have three of the sons here. The wicked son, it doesn't say he has a tomorrow. The one who doesn't ask also it doesn't say he has a tomorrow. Someone to say that the one who doesn't know how to ask doesn't mean someone who's a young kid and therefore doesn't know. It means an adult. When we say the children ask, it doesn't mean she means everyone's a child or someone. It means an adult who doesn't know. He's so ignorant about Judaism, he doesn't know how to formulate a question. Okay? So that's also there. No machar. Even though I don't care why you don't have a good education, you never taught, whatever, but the point is you don't have anything to pass on to your children. You're just going to have no future. All right? That's interesting. And if you look at 6:20 in Deuteronomy, it says, Ki Yishalcha Bincha Machar. Again, the wise son we hold, is he's asking here, when your son asks you tomorrow, Ma'i Dutva Chukim Mishpatim Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Etchem, what are these things? Yamarta Levincha, you shall tell him, we were Avadim, we were slaves, and God took us out. Again, there it says Machar, there is a tomorrow. Just interesting, there is a tomorrow for the wise son. Just find that interesting, again, that here you have these different elements of the different sons. I'm not saying it's all perfect, but we've seen, therefore, that you have, when your children shall ask you machar, you have machar said by two of the sons, right? By the simple son, right? And by the wise son. Le'mor ma'avani ma'elu lachem. What is this to you? Sounds like the wicked son now is involved. V'yamartem lahem. And he shall say, but you say to them, it's not just v'yamartem, that this is what God did. And then you have next, it says, now listen, please, listen to the open to this, the poetry of Tanakh. It then says, this is what God did when he split the river. It says, Mipnei Aaron Brit Hashem, in the face of the Holy Ark, Ovro Bayardain. Please compare this to something with the four sons, for those who know the four quests, the four sons. Bob, what do we say to at least two of the sons? We say to the wicked son and to the one who doesn't know how to ask? Yeah, what do we say? Ba'avur zeh. I'm just comparing. You could say, well, come on, it's just a coincidence. It says there, Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem livin sitrayim. God did this for me. Because of this, God did this for me. And here it says, Ba'avur achat ar yardein. God did this as he was taking me through. I know it's a different idea, but the wording I'm saying, it sounds like it's to be tied together through the crossing of the river. These things, again, compare the two. Now, as we just said, what was the purpose of God taking them through the river? To do what? To do what? Why is he keeping them? What's the whole idea here? Putting up the stones, taking you through, to do what? To do what? To keep the commandments, to keep the Torah, right? That's why I'm doing this for you, to keep the Torah. Rashi says on Ba'avur Zeh there, Ba'avur Zeh, for the sake of what? Ba'avur Zeh, for the sake of what? Rashi says, Mikaye Mitzvotav, Pesach Matzah Umaror. Right? Rashi says that this is being done. Why did he take me out of Egypt ultimately? In order to fulfill his mitzvot. And it gives the examples of the ones you're doing right now, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So the whole purpose of being taken out of Egypt was to keep God's mitzvot, to keep the Torah. And the whole purpose, again, I'm reminding you, of crossing you into Eretz Yisrael, which we've seen perhaps as the completion of the Yetzias Mitzrayim event of the Exodus. The whole purpose there also is to focus upon the idea that you have to keep and observe the Torah if this land is going to remain yours. Let's go down to verse 10, back into the Sefer Yehoshua, verse 10. It says, V'ha-Kohanim nasehu ha-aron omdim v'toch ha-yardain. And the priests who were carrying the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan, ad tom kol hadavar asher tziva Hashem et Yehoshua, until everything that Yehoshua was told by God was complete. In order that Yehoshua should then speak to the nation like Moses told him to, by Maruha Am, by Yavoru, and the people hurried and they went through. Now, by the way, I just saw Michael Hatton, who has commentary on this, and just finished a book on this, on Yehoshua. It's about to come out. By Yimaharu, it says, and they hurried. I didn't think anything of this, but Michael Hatton says, oh, beautifully. And they hurry to get through the river. Now, why'd they hurry? What's it reminiscent of? Again, why'd they hurry?
Water my clothes.
What?
Oh, water my clothes.
Okay, but why else? Some water my clothes. Well, why else, actually?
Were they in pursuit? What? Were
they
being pursued?
No.
They left Egypt.
They left Egypt in a hurry. Again, it's reminiscent of, we're saying, the Exodus, and this is again a continuation, a completion of the Exodus. They hurried out of Egypt, and here it says Umaru, and they also hurried here in order to, again, arouse that idea and remembering Mitzrayim. Rashi says here, as it says in Masechet Sota, Odam B'Yardain, Amar Lahem Yehoshua. Again, as I'm emphasizing, they did all this when they were still in the Jordan River. Like you said, you might have thought they'd say, let's get out of here, quick. I mean, they did eventually, but at that moment, they're just standing there in the river. And upon this, the Medrash says, Imatem osin kein mutav. If you keep the Torah like I'm telling you to, that's what we said the whole purpose of this is, right? If you keep the Torah, fine. Vim lav ba'in mayim v'shotfin otechem. It says. And then, if not, guess what? Then I'm just going to let the Jordan waters just go and be released, and they're just going to drown you all. Okay? Is this reminiscent of anything? Yes. The Torah says, the Gemara says, in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Peichet, we all presume, usually the Torah was given in a way where the Jewish people had freedom of choice, and they said, Naseh v'nishma, that God went to every nation and said, do you want the Torah? And they all said, no, because it says you can't kill, you can't steal, and we like doing all that, so no. And then he went to the Jewish people and said, Naseh v'nishma, whatever you say, we'll have to know what's in it. Naseh, we'll do whatever you say, God. Okay? But there's another view in the Gemara there, that says, Kafu alehem har kigigit, that God actually lifted the mountain up and held it over them, as that's how it's described, and said, okay, you either accept the Torah, or this will be your burial place. Now, what do you want to do? which one do you choose? Which one do you choose to do? And they said, okay, fine, okay, we'll take it. Now, whether it could be, they said, Naseh v'nishma also, maybe there's a way to combine these two. They said, we'll do it. God said, well, I've got to make sure that you know this is for all time. This is serious now. You know, no, not just we'll try it, okay, we'll see if we like it. No, this is it. Because Rav Aaron Soloveitchik understood this to mean, look, if you don't accept the Torah, you're dead as a people. You're not going to survive. The whole purpose for your vision of life and what you're supposed to bring to the world is to be observant of the Torah, be the light of the nations. If you're not going to accept it, you might as well just be buried right here and now. It's all over. Okay? So fascinatingly, the same thing here, right, that it says, as they're in the river, okay, you're going to accept this Torah I'm telling you to keep, or am I going to sweep you through? So this is, again, bringing the idea that you're going to keep the Torah here, and it seems to be similar to another acceptance of the Torah, of Kabbalah Salmachut Shemaim, accepting God's kingship, His rules. The mezuzah is the idea when you enter the door for that, I thought, that you come in a Jewish home, and you're saying Shema Yisrael, and you're going to keep in that home the laws of the Torah. And so to here, it's a similar idea. And by the way, the Gemara there in Daf Peched, relevant to Purim, some you may know this, that the Gemara asked a difficult question there. It says, wait a second. If you're telling me that ultimately the Jews were forced to keep the Torah, then today, why do we have to keep it? We could say we were forced. We know that ones rachmana patre. We hold, we have a notion in Jewish law, if someone holds a gun to your head and tells you to do something and you do it, you can't be held responsible for that. What do you mean? What do you want? The guy had a gun at your head. No one's going to say you're a wicked person. We do have certain sins where you do have to give up your life. But here, okay, well, what do you want? So here God's threatening the Jewish people. You accept the Torah or that's it. You're going to die. So he said, okay, we all accept it for ourselves and for all generations. What do you mean? We say later they were forced. Our ancestors are forced into it. We're not keeping it. They were forced into it. Even Jewish law says that's no good. So how do we explain this? So the Gemara says, Kimu v'kiblu. They reaccepted the Torah at the time, as it says in the Megillah. It says they reaccepted the Torah upon themselves at the time of Mordechai and Esther. Oh. They reaccepted it freely and without any forcing there. In fact, just the opposite. They might have said, oh, look, we don't want to go through this again. We just went through this with Haman, and who knows, once again, some Hitler will come along. We have to do this all again because we're different. Maybe we won't accept it. No, we willfully accept the Torah upon ourselves now, and therefore from that time on, I don't know what happened in between there if a Jew would have said something, but from that time on, sorry, we've accepted the Torah fully and openly and with our own desire to do so, and thereby again, the Torah is now ours to have to keep. But just fascinating how you have this connection here, is it not, between the giving of the Torah and the standing in the Jordan. It's another reacceptance of the Torah upon the Jews as they go into the land of Israel, again emphasizing how you have to keep that Torah if you are going to hold on to the land of Israel. And by the way, one of the reasons we were sent out of the land of Israel is because we didn't keep the Torah. One of the things we didn't keep, it says, is Shemitah, the laws of the land. It says you don't keep the laws of the land's not going to keep you. All right, the land will spit you out. All right? Because you are not observing the laws of the Torah. It's always been presumed that if we don't keep the laws, we're not going to be able to hold on to our land. And it's miraculous that we got back to our land, and even when we got it back in 1948, we weren't all keeping the laws then. We're still not all keeping it. And yet God was gracious enough, maybe after the Holocaust and the terrible suffering that that inflicted upon us, to give us the land anyway. But now that we do have it, we better try to keep it, keep those laws so that we can continue to hold on to the land.
Right.
Yeah. Pasuk 19. Yud-Tet. Va'am alu mina Yarden. The people went up again from the Jordan. Besur la'chodesh ha'rishon. When did they go up? When is this all happening? And they went to camp in Gilgal. When? On the 10th of the first month. What is the first month? Nisan. Not Tishrei. Nisan, right? The 10th of the month of Nisan, they happened to go up out of the Jordan. All this is happening on the 10th of Nisan. What happened to anyone on the 10th of Nisan?
Oh, they would have to select get a korban.
That's exactly. That's when the Jews were told to take the Korban Pesach, to go and take the lambs, right, which the Egyptians worshipped. It was their gods, all right, and to slaughter them right in front of them. This was the ultimate act of accepting God's kingship. We accept what God tells us to do. We don't accept what you, because they said, no, those are our idols. God said, do it. You'll see they won't do a thing to you. All right? Because they've seen all the plagues and everything. And they did it. This happened, again, reminiscent of this. This is all taking place on the 10th to remind the people. And this mezuzah being set up by Barbanel, he doesn't say it. But again, that's when they put the blood on the mezuzahs of their home, right? As protection. And here again, you have the idea of the Jewish people going to be protected in the land of Israel as a result of their engagement in this activity. Then he repeats the idea, a little different language of telling to your children exactly what happened. And then finally, just one more item. It says in verse 22, "Behodatem et b'neichem lemor, you shall make it known to your children, saying, by Yavasha avar Yisrael ad Yarden hazeh. On dry land did you go through this Jordan River, on dry land." So there's a medrash that says as follows. It says in Bereishit Rabbah, "Lo avru Yisrael ad Yarden, ela bezichut Yaakov avinu." A final thought here, which ties everything together. They only merited to go through the Jordan because of the connection they had to Yaakov Avinu, to Jacob, our father, Yisrael Saba, as we call him, our grandfather Yaakov. It says three places in the Torah that the Jewish people only went by through the Jordan because of Yaakov. First it says in Bereishit, Lamed Bet, it says, Ki b'makli avarti et ha-yarden hazeh, which is a hint, like Yaakov says, I crossed the Jordan with my staff, was a hint somehow of the Jewish people going through the Jordan. And it says, V'hodatem et b'neichem, here, you shall tell your children that you went through the Jordan. And he says also in Ketuvim, it says in Tehillim, in Hallel, Malacha Yam Kitanus, what is it that the sea split? Hayardain Tisof Lachor, that the Jordan also moved to the side. Mivnelo Ka Yaakov, because of the God of Jacob. Again, it mentions Yaakov. Now let me ask you, again looking for ideas here. Yaakov, why not Abraham? Why not Yitzchak? Why is it Yaakov here? Because with what we've been saying all along, what today's theme kind of is, why is it Yaakov is the one who by which we merit now to cross and go into Israel? What does Abraham represent in Jewish tradition? What does he represent? What act of chesed, loving kindness? Yitzchak? Gevuri, the strength or avoda, or service, okay? What does Yaakov represent? Either MS or Torah, right? Torah. And MS Torah is MS, right? Torah's MS. So Yaakov represents Torah. Yaakov Ishtam Yoshevo Alim, Chazal say, he was a simple man or a complete man who learned in the tents of Torah. All right, you learned in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eber, according to the Medrash. Yaakov represents Torah. Again, a final statement. As you go through, please recall again, you are crossing in the narrative of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, who was the first to represent Torah, in a sense. And again, that kind of closes up this chapter, that is the entire vision that the Jewish people always have to keep on their minds as they go through. They've been told already, through the splitting of the Jordan, that God will be with you. God will do miracles for you. God will be there to help you. And assist you. Don't ever forget that. Those stones are supposed to be there. I wish they were still there. I wish you could, I mean, they were still sticking out. It'd be so neat. Those stones are supposed to be there with the Torah written on them. As, again, like you walk into the land of Israel, whoever walks in, you see it says, this is a land of Torah. This is a land of Torah. By the merit of Yaakov Avinu, and God is here to protect you with, like a mezuzah protects, and you shall tell your children, just like you tell your children of the remarkable event of the going out of Egypt, so too shall you tell them of the conclusion that took place after receiving the Torah in your crossing into the land of Israel.